and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you know, Bill?
Yes, Aaron.
You just can't talk about this stuff enough. So for people who maybe haven't listened or don't listen regularly, we would love to have your support and sponsorship. We would love to promote your business, actually, if you would like us to. We would love to do that. You can find it all at wethepeopleradio.us. I think the phone numbers are on there. I think I might have to take them off. Something when you put your phone number on the internet, then all of a sudden it, I don't care if I get a lot of calls. I get a lot of calls anyway, but it just started to make a mess. It spammed me to death, but our emails and stuff were on there. We're super easy to find. And we would love to promote your business if you are happy with what we're doing. If you have ideas for shows, I'd like to hear from that as well. Our format, obviously, is really well situated for stories that take some time, ideas that need to be developed, and people who have a lot of information that they never get to share in anything more than a soundbite. We're the beyond soundbite people. So anyway, our guest today is Dr. Harry Booyens. We were talking about South Africa, and it finally is kind of in the mainstream news. But again, and I know all of you out there listening, regardless of where you are politically, will be shocked to find out that the media hasn't necessarily been telling you the truth.
I know, that's shocking.
Collective gasp.
Yeah.
No, not that again. So
we did hear about
the
White House.
Yeah, the people that are coming here and all that. Maybe you could unpack that for people, Harry. Why, obviously they're doing it because of everything we talked about in the first hour. People are either going to be killed, or they, you know, they're facing a death, ruination, destruction. Nothing good is coming for them. Correct? There's like no.
One lady farmer that was interviewed had been attacked three times on a farm.
And we're not talking like they came and yelled at her. I mean, this isn't, they wore rainbow colored outfits and screamed racial slurs at her. I mean, this is light people on fire, burn your house down.
That's much, much, much worse than that.
More than light you on fire? That's bad.
Aaron, they have, and on at least one occasion, they took the young son of the farmer and they boiled him alive.
Holy crap.
In at least one case, they took cooking oil, they covered the farmer's wife in cooking oil, and then they ironed her with a hot clothes iron until she died.
Holy crap. Who would even think of a thing like that?
You want me to carry on?
Yeah, I do. It's ghoulish, but you know what? People should know what's really going on.
It's really that bad. In the most recent attack in last week, they... not this very past week, the week before, at the town called Brits, very near the capital of Pretoria, there was a couple on the farm. The gentleman was in a wheelchair. These five, I believe, Tswana-speaking blacks came. They attacked them, and they beat him to a pulp with an antique clothes iron, a very heavy one that works by purely by weight, right?
Oh, sure.
Use this thing to beat him up with, and in this past week he died from his wounds. Okay. It just goes on and on. They took some elderly folks to supposedly keep them from warning anybody. After they'd finished with them, they came along with pots of boiling water and they stuck their feet in the boiling water so as to cripple them. Okay, yeah, there is no depravity that is beyond these people.
So we're super clear, when you, you know, when you're in South Africa, who are these people that you see coming?
Well, they're invariably black. They somehow, in majority, they tend to be from the interior Sotho Tswana people. There have been farm murders in Natal where the perpetrators were Zulus. There have been farm murders where the perpetrators were Amakosa. But the two very big Nguni, as they're called, races, are the Amakosa, that's Mandela's people, and the Zulu. But they do not make up the bulk of the perpetrators. It is the other black nations who live in perpetual fear of those two. It's those others that appear to be the mainstay of these operatives, if one can call them operatives.
But it is supported by the government, is that correct?
Well, no one can draw a direct link between no one can find a document by the government instructing somebody to go out and murder farmers.
So they're not having summer camp for hit squads, but somehow magically they're forming and going out and doing it.
Okay. So I think the only way that I know of addressing that question is to play that clip of Malema again. Because I have it here somewhere, if you'll bear with me. And maybe it's time that people hear it again now that there's context for them. Give me a second here. Let me just try and find it.
Now, is this the same gentleman that visited the White House?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
He is, and I have that clip. It's on our webpage.
Yeah, except this is a cleaned-up version, I believe.
Oh, nice.
By cleaned-up, I mean... the quality's been improved. This is Matt Gaetz.
So
we can't hear it.
Something bonkers is happening in South Africa.
There we go.
So could you hear that when it played?
We could hear the guy saying something bonkers is happening in South Africa, but the rest is too far off.
Okay. And before that, did you hear the guy sing "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer"?
No.
Hell is that? You should be able to hear both.
I do have the clip. I do have that clip.
Okay, I don't know what to do about that. Last time we had the same problem. Maybe there's a lag time or something that kicks in. Because he was screaming, kill the farmer, kill the Boer.
Yeah,
kill
right.
The Boer, kill the farmer. Okay, and he did that loudly before Matt Gaetz spoke.
I'm going to put the, I've got the link for our other, for the show we're doing with you. And the link is on that page. If Phil can click
it. I don't know why I am fighting statistics like this at all.
Yeah,
I'm having this guy scream his murderous junk at people from 1,000 different TVs, but I cannot get it piped to you, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll do it. We'll get it. He's got that link. It's right there on our page from last time.
He is the leader of the third biggest party, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You have to define him.
And not just that. He used to be the youth leader of the ruling party.
The Let problem that South Africans have
Here we go.
Of right now is that we don't understand white people. White people are inferior species.
Oh, that's the first line.
We are Homo sapiens. They've got Neanderthal blood in them. This is the science, and this is not science that was done by black people. It was done by them. You understand? Abu Clive, Dobie Lewis, they were eugenicists. They studied this, and they realized that they're inferior to blacks. The white population is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. For us, it makes no sense.
Evidence is killed by Microsoft.
The savagery that they have. Whatever land that they're holding on to, either way, their numbers are dwindling. Whatever leadership that they had is dying out as well. And you know about wealth disappearing after the third generation that it's passed down to, you know? So they're on the last generation. We're dealing with the weakest whites that the world has ever seen. So we expect to have ubuntu, humanity. Unfortunately, by the strictest definition of what a human being is, white people are just below human beings.
Are we still on track?
Yeah.
The problem that South Africans have right now is that we don't understand white people. White people are inferior species to us. We are Homo sapiens.
Okay.
They've got Neanderthal
blood. So, Phil, hit the second clip that's on that page right below it. It says Malema with the ANC party. Oh, that is the one you're playing?
That's what I was playing, I believe.
A wild dog that you're trying to trace to be...
No. For whatever reason. We are being killed by Microsoft.
Yeah, I can't hear anything. So.
Oh, you can't hear it. We could hear it. It just, for whatever reason, the Malema clip...
bombs every time.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So anyway, he starts screaming, kill the Boer. I mean, we've played that on different programs. I thought this would be my fast fix.
So... Well, the normal solution for that is to do what I did last time.
Yeah.
And that is just...
Just tell us what it is. Oh, there it is.
Okay, then Matt Gaetz starts to talk.
We'll find it before we get done. I'm gonna do a little.
I don't get it. I stuck the microphone right into the speaker.
I know. We're doing a experimental. What do you call it? Google Meet today. So we're learning what works and what doesn't. I'll get the for whatever reason the clip on my page. I guess is the same. With both clips, which is very odd. I know you emailed it to me before, so everybody failed on this one. Everybody else.
I don't understand why you can pick up my microphone that's going through this mixer, but you cannot pick up the clip that I'm playing through exactly the same mixer.
It's the magic of technology, of course. It's always the answer.
It's an analog mixer. It's not digital. Oh, okay.
So Malema, what is it? He's the head of the third largest party?
The Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF.
Okay. That sounds good. I mean.
So now, you asked earlier, but do these people, I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but essentially you were saying, do these people not understand that this is going to backfire on them?
Yeah.
You know,
I was kind of asking that rhetorical question, wasn't I?
That my words for your unspoken question. And the situation is, well, you need to understand that people with that mindset that they have, which is the white man has everything. Now I want everything. I can only get it from him. Life is a zero-sum game. So to get it, I must take it away from him. That's how they reason. That's how all socialists reason. They've never created a thing. Socialism has never created anything except war. Now, these guys are, you need to understand that they were originally trained by the Soviet Union in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. That's the basis of their entire philosophy to the degree that they have one. They are still talking about the revolution. Everything for them is about the revolution. Now, they believe they have finished phase one of the revolution, which is remove the white man from any form of power and influence. Step two, get rid of him. They call that the second stage of the revolution, and you'll keep on hearing every now and then a comment from South Africa about the second phase of the revolution has begun. The second phase. Okay, so we're now at the beginning of the second phase. The pretense is gone. The masks they have been wearing are gone. You're hearing Malema openly calling for people to be killed. And then you have people like Nota Baloyi, he's another one who says white people are just beneath humans. They are not quite human.
And that is actually the clip that we heard. So people did hear that we could hear that clearly.
Okay.
And define him again.
He is a video producer in South Africa, an influencer on the government side. What you would call an influencer. Okay. So he went on a podcast where he's in, where the host never said a peep. He just let him speak. And the guy sprouted this stuff for, it's like an hour that he went on. Okay. About how whites are untermenschen. My words, not his, but that's what he described. About being Neanderthal and we have no humanity because we're white and I don't know what, all kinds of stuff like that. And how can you expect white people to have humanity if they are not human, etc., etc., etc. Now, I am quite sure that there's a whole lot of people in the streets in L.A. at the moment who will agree with all those words.
Yeah, probably.
And they'll be the first ones that get killed by those very people who are the supposed humans. Anyway, so the ANC comes from that background, having been steeped in classic Soviet training and so forth, talking about revolutions, the first phase of the revolution, the second phase of the revolution. Around about 96, they started placing so-called cadres out into industry, which means they take some of their party men and they stick them into key places, just like the Soviets put political officers on U-boats, right? So I had to deal with some of those guys. And it was eventually a disagreement between me and one of those guys that caused me to go home and tell my wife, that's it, we're out of here. It's done. It's over. And that was in the year 2000. So I saw all of this with great clarity in the year 2000. I do not understand why it has to take until 20. Why did it have to take 25 years more for people to see? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And you've heard me say a thousand times now that I am not clairvoyant. I don't have access to any special information that other people don't. Okay. The only difference is that I lived in South Africa, so I've seen this stuff. I've lived it. And if Americans don't want to live it, they better start listening.
And so who was the White House visitor? Was that the president of the ANC?
Okay, let me explain. This is interesting. The visitor was Cyril Ramaphosa.
Guys,
Cyril
we have to take a really quick break. I'm sorry. I just looked. It was 1:23. Let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to zoom to the White House. By the way, I found the clip. And so we'll come back in with that and go to the White House right away. Our guest is Dr. Harry Booyans. Thank you for sticking with us while we get our technology situated. But it'll all be posted correctly at wethepeopleradio.us.
Speak of the devil. The devil appears, waiting for someone, been waiting for years.
Bad, bad thing indeed. All right, Bill, back to your question.
I just wanted to get on with what was said at the White House, because I know the president did kind of line him out. And I believe it was a visit that took place after we cut off or we imposed sanctions and started bringing South Africans to the U.S.
Is that the question?
Yes. Just
yeah. The first folks had already landed when Cyril Ramaphosa visit arrived. Mm-hmm. So let me explain who Cyril Ramaphosa is. Right now, by title, he is the president of South Africa. So he is the Trump equivalent over there. However, what's more important to the story that we've been sharing for more than 10 years is that he was also Mandela's anointed prince. In other words, he was the guy that Mandela had hoped would be his successor. But he was also the vice president of President Zuma, the guy who took over around about 2009 and completely economically destroyed the country through corruption. So he's always been the number two of the main characters. He was the number two to Mandela. Then he was the number two to Zuma, the biggest disaster that ever hit the country. And then he took over in 2017. Significantly, he's not a Zulu. He's not a Xhosa. He's from the much smaller Venda nation in the far north of the country. The Venda generally are, call me prejudiced, but they're more industrious. So I had at least two Venda engineers on my team. So they can do stuff. They have a long, long history as the bladesmiths of that part of the world. So they knew about smelting and making blades. Hmm. Okay. So interesting people. So Ramaphosa, in 2018, when President Trump first made a comment about South Africa, he said that the government there is trying to take the farms of people and much, much worse. I have asked Mike Pompeo to look into the matter. So somebody got hold of Ramaphosa on a Bloomberg show and asked him, what has he got to say? And he said, there are no farmers being killed in South Africa. He literally looked straight in the camera and he said, there are no farmers being killed in South Africa. That is Cyril Ramaphosa. He has since revealed himself to be ineffectual at pretty much anything he lifts a finger to do. So he hasn't got much traction left in the country. To make things worse for him, in the election of last year, for the first time ever since 1994, when Mandela took over, for the first time ever, the ANC could not get a straight majority in parliament. They are now a coalition government. Who have they formed a coalition with? They formed a coalition with the Democratic Alliance, which you can essentially read as the party of most coloreds and whites. It's a very, what's the word? It's a Western-oriented party. It's not socialist by nature at all. But it's intimidated because Ramaphosa, I believe, has made it quite clear that if the DA does not ally with him to form a government of national unity, then he will naturally, by the Constitution, be forced to make a deal with Malema. Mm-hmm. Or even worse, Zuma, who now has his own party. Okay, so Zuma has left the ANC, and that is why the ANC could not get a majority, is because Zuma went off with a Zulu chunk of the ANC party. So you now have a situation where there are four players on the stage. Ramaphosa with his much weakened ANC, the DA under the leadership of John Steenhuisen, who's not an Afrikaner. You have Zuma with his Spear of the Nation party, and you have Malema kill the Boer, right? Or Julius kill the Boer Malema. And so the DA is completely intimidated into dysfunction. It's there with Ramaphosa to form a government of national unity, but it's not as though it has any real influence other to just keep Malema out. That's the situation in South African politics. So the people who visited that day in the White House was Ramaphosa, obviously as leader of the delegation, but he also had with him John Steenhuisen, who is the leader of the main opposition, the DA, who happens to now be in a coalition government with him. Okay? And this is why so many people in South Africa took exception when Ramaphosa turned to President Trump and he said, Mr. President, have you met my white Minister of Agriculture? His white Minister of Agriculture is actually the leader of the opposition. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. He's politically castrated leader of the opposition. And John Steenhuisen, as on cue, sits there and blathers off inanities. Okay. Also in attendance were two golfing South African friends, because South Africa has a history of producing golf stars like Gary Player and Ernie Els, who was there, and Retief Goosen, who was there. And Ramaphosa actually dared to tell Trump that if he asked his friends here, the two guys, the two golfers, they would tell him that there are no farm murders, upon which Retief Goosen said that my family was attacked on the farm.
Awkward.
Awkward, right? So they talked over that. But suddenly, out of nowhere, a female South African Zulu or Xhosa voice pipes up out of the group of media, and it says, Mr. President, what would it take for you to realize that there is not a genocide in South Africa? Nobody had used the word genocide in that conversation, certainly not President Trump. No one else had said genocide. So what is this person doing asking that question? And the answer is simple. She's a plant, or a plant in your accent. Okay, she's planted there to ask that question because Ramaphosa didn't look left, didn't look right, but jumped in immediately and said, oh, I can answer that question. Okay, Trump's face was absolutely precious. He sat there and he got this bemused grin on his face and he let Ramaphosa hang himself. So Ramaphosa goes ahead and he makes these comments about, these men who are here will tell you that there are no farm murders and blah, 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 blah. And that, it's when Ramaphosa usurped the role of the American president to whom the question had been posed. It's when Ramaphosa did that, that Trump reacted with, yes, but we have thousands of reports, and this must be answered. And that's when he spoke the famous words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Oops, sorry. I meant to say, whoever, turn down the lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when the lights were turned down, all of the entire world got to see this clip that we were trying to share with everybody a few minutes ago, with Malema dancing on stage, yelling, kill the farmer, kill the Boer. And Trump saying, this must be answered. And he asked, why have you not put that man in prison?
And what was his reaction to that?
This is when John, completely castrated Steenhuisen, decides to pipe up. And that was the end of his career, as far as I can tell. He pipes up and he says, well, that's why we are in the government of national unity, is to keep that lot from getting any power.
Oops.
He gave away his greatest fear. Instead of hanging tough in negotiation with the ANC, He went, he just reacted on pure fear. We better form a national government with the ANC so as to keep Malema and those murderers out of there. That is not a good basis for a leader. The man is a rat, okay? He is not welcome in my home after this. He has exhibited just exactly what a low-class idiot he is. He's an incompetent leader. He's not worthy of the people of South Africa. That man has to go, and I think he will. I think everybody has now seen just what he's actually made of, and it's his end. So hopefully the DA will get themselves another leader. Meanwhile, and this is the bit that Americans do not know, Ramaphosa has gone back to South Africa. They obviously know that. But a few days later, he attended a meeting. I don't know whether it was Cape Town or Johannesburg, but when he walked into this hall, the lights were dimmed. And he started laughing, and he said, oh, I almost thought that somebody was dimming the lights to play another video for me. Okay, so he was taking the hell out of Trump with that statement. So I know of at least one American who's got that video and who has sworn to make sure that it lands on the desk of the State Department.
Wow.
So these guys are laughing Trump off, okay? And you need to understand why that is. They are so in bed with China that they are completely bespoke. When you are speaking to South Africa, you are speaking to China.
Well, yeah, that's the only friend they have right now.
Yeah. Okay. And I can, there's like a complaint list. Let me just tell you, here are some of the things that have happened that maybe folks don't know. Number one, the ANC imposed a tariff of 75% on U.S. poultry imports. They abstained and subsequently refused to condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine. They actually went along with trying to make another COVID vaccine at the time, and they didn't want to be part of the U.S. effort. And then when their effort failed and they weren't getting any vaccine from the U.S., Ramaphosa said, this is vaccine apartheid. So you were accused of vaccine. The U.S. was accused of vaccine apartheid. Okay. Then they made it quite clear that they're very cozy with Hamas. On 7 October 2023, they refused to condemn that attack. And in fact, Naledi Pandor, the South African charge d'affaires, phoned up Hamas and congratulated them on the attack. They then turned around and blamed Israel for the Hamas terror attack. Then they hosted the Russian cargo ship Lady R. That ship sailed around the Cape, switched off its transponder. It was like 100 miles past Cape Town. It switched off its transponder, doubled back quickly to Simonstown Naval Harbor, and goods were exchanged in that naval harbor. Okay? And then the ship left, and when it got to its previous point where it had switched off its transponder, it switched it back on. The U.S. tracked that. The U.S. knew about that. Oh, I lost my screen. Give me a second. Here we go. Okay. As this person says, the U.S. tried various polite and discreet diplomatic requests for clarity on the Lady R, and the ANC has rebuffed all of that. So the list goes on. Part two. So it's been grey-listed for money laundering and terror financing. And then, on the very Air Force base from which I flew out to the northern border in the 1980s, a Russian military cargo plane came to land. at that South African Air Force base. Okay? That's when the U.S. had already placed sanctions on Russia. Why was South Africa allowing a Russian cargo plane to land? Then, for its next trick, it recruited former U.S. and NATO pilots to train People's Liberation Army pilots of China at the Test Flying Academy of South Africa. And then it participated in a Chinese Communist Party-funded political training school in Tanzania to teach authoritarian ideology. That's your friend, South Africa. Do you understand why Trump is on its case?
Yeah.
It's not just Afrikaner farmers. It's all of these things.
It's all of it. Yeah.
Get this right.
And the other part of it is it comes here next. Yeah. Because that's the history, right straight along with all these things. Yeah. How about this? Quick break. We'll come back. I don't know why the break seems so fast. It seems like every time we turn around, it's like time is blowing by. We'll come back and maybe hit a few of the parallels of what we're seeing now here and what they're seeing in South Africa, just so nobody misses any of that or thinks we're wildly unique. That's always the thing. Oh, we're the ones blazing the trail. It's like, maybe not. Our guest is Dr. Harry Billions. We are discussing South Africa, and we are going to come back with you. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, so the parallel stuff between South Africa and here is a lot tighter than I think most people would realize.
The parallels, and there's an umbilical. As for the parallels, let me put it this way. We don't have the time for it left, but the parallels between American history and the Afrikaner's history, they are so coincident, it's almost hilarious. In terms of big events, both nations fought two wars against the Brits. Okay? Both tried to get independent of them. We succeeded first time around, failed second time, and here is the result now. You don't know how fortunate you are that those Americans in the 1770s hung tough and kept going and got French help and got you free of the Brits, okay? Because they would have sold you down the river. I promise you that. Like they sold us down the river and sold all their own people down the river. Now, I can carry on with heaps and heaps of parallels, but the best phrase I have, and this is something you can hear a guy like Alex Newman also echo, and that is, the Afrikaner is the closest thing on earth to an American outside America. We have the same views on life, the same thing about don't touch our guns or our Bibles. Do you know how to shoot? Do you know how to pick a horse? Okay, growing up on a dangerous frontier, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and started your country for basically the same reason, you know?
Yeah. And when some of those old fur trekkers went north from the southern tip of South Africa, they said expressly that their intention was to go and create their own country along the lines of the United States. It's always been heavily inspired by the principles of the United States. Okay. In terms of parallels, maybe I'll just hold it there for a minute. But I think what's way more important is the umbilical that drives this. And there are two umbilicals here. One. And it's two individual gentlemen. Let's start with the earlier one first. Back in the 1970s, South Africa was still going strong. The first Soweto riots had happened, and Cuba had gone into Angola. Round about that time, there was a meeting in London of a bunch of very rich people. One of them was an American of Hungarian extraction, and his name was Georgi Schwartz. He met with a number of other people to discuss how to take that government of South Africa down. Life went on, and in the next few years, he started various things. It was always under the guise of philanthropy. Always this philanthropic flag that's flying over everything. He's handing out money for this and for that, and he's so good and he's so brilliant, and it's all just great. What a phenomenally good human being. Meanwhile, back in Hungary, the Hungarians knew this piece of work. They knew him. Okay? More particularly, Viktor Orban knew him. Anyway, so as time progressed, he finally hit on this great idea that he was going to host the process by which the then South African government was going to meet with the ANC to try and see if they can sort out a future for South Africa. So the future of South Africa was facilitated and sorted out under the guiding hand of none other than George Soros.
I was waiting for him to pop up.
The very man who's funding half the crap that's happening in your country. Well, yep. Ain't that a surprise?
Yep.
Okay. So please understand that we were his first experiment. He cut his teeth on this thing, on our country. He killed off my people in that process. What you're seeing now, 3,000 to 4,000 farmers dead, horribly tortured to death. Thank you, George Soros. That's you.
And you gave me a number this morning when we were talking. We were messing around with the connection here and tried to get that all straightened out. And you had said that if it was a relative number of deaths in South Africa to the number of farmers in our country.
Yeah, you've got just over 3 million white farmers in America, okay? That's 100 times more farmers than in South Africa. Since there are about 3,000 to 4,000 dead white farmers now, tortured and murdered to death, what would it be called in the United States if 300,000 to 400,000 farmers were murdered on their farms in attacks? What would you call it?
Well, I'd call it a genocide.
And that is why people call it a genocide in South Africa.
Yep.
You'll notice that I've used the word genocide without calling it a genocide. You called it a genocide. I'm very careful about that word. At the most simple, it is a targeted collective attack. It is more likely better described by ethnic cleansing, okay?
Yeah.
But at the relative scale, relative to the number of people that could be killed, it is a genocide.
Yeah.
How the hell do you hide 300,000 murder deaths of white farmers in the United States. And why, in the name of all that's precious, would you try to hide that behind the gun violence in Chicago and Detroit?
Yeah.
Because that's what your media is doing. They say, oh, South Africa is a violent place. You know, 3,000 farmers here or there is not a big deal. Yeah. Now apply it to your situation and see what it looks like.
Right. When you make the numbers a relative.
Yeah.
Back to the statistics again, right?
Yeah, statistics. Just multiply by 100. Actually, you've got 3.25 million white farmers. I said let it be 3. I said let the 30,000, you divide the 30,000 South African farmers in there, you get 100. So multiply the 3 to 4,000 dead farmers by 100. That's 300 to 400,000 murdered white farmers in America. What would Americans call that? And would they say, oh, well, you know, America is a very violent place. Just look at all the shootings in Chicago. How would that work exactly?
Hopefully not. Hopefully not well.
So that's the first umbilical is with George Soros. And he's working on the U.S. right now. I'm sure you guys understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you understand that. Okay. Separate from that, there's another thread. When Glenn, Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, who took a look at the Twitter files, Elon Musk took over Twitter, called it X, and he let those guys go through those files. And they found out where all these roads lead, all these efforts at twisting the narrative, all these efforts at shutting people up, all these efforts at doxing them, at killing their accounts, all those things. Where was it coming from? It was coming from a thing called the Global Engagement Center. The Global Engagement Center was demanded by Hillary Clinton, and she got hold of a guy called Richard Stengel. S-T-E-N-G-E-L. She got hold of Richard and said, you got to do something about this. And that is why he got onto a stage one day, and in a moment of intellectual weakness, he declared, well, I was Obama's propaganda czar. He used the words, not me. He used them. He himself. He said, I was the propaganda czar. And I believe that all nations have that. I see no problem with that. So he's the guy who sees no problem with it. The tool is the Global Engagement Center. Okay? And when you start looking at what's all involved in there, you start seeing people like the owner of Wikipedia. So next time you use Wikipedia, please be aware that you are dealing with something that's tainted. People need to wake up. They need to do the homework. And they need to understand who's who in the bloody zoo that they live in, because they don't. And so who the hell is Richard Stengel? Well, then people go back just a little and they say, oh, he was editor for Time magazine. Must be a great guy. Well, actually, here's where he comes from. Hold on.
Spoiler alert, we have about a minute and a half. I got my
copy of Long Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela. And on his thank you page, he says, acknowledgements. I am deeply grateful to Richard Stengel, who collaborated with me in the creation of this book, providing invaluable assistance in editing and revising the first parts and in writing of the latter parts. In fact, what he did is he removed the fact from the book that Nelson Mandela was one of the main leaders of the South African Communist Party. He knew full well that if ordinary Americans read that, it would be over with Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why Mandela is an angel that walks on water in the United States is Richard Stengel. Okay? He BS'd the world back in 1994, 95 with his book. and he's been BSing you all the way along. He's still out there. He's still getting on TV every now and then. He's still a talking head for MSNBC and CNN.
And I linked all that on the page for today just so people can go and read about that.
So those are your two umbilicals, guys. Don't tell me South Africa does not influence your country.
Exactly.
You are connected by the umbilical.
Harry, we will talk about that some more on a different day. We will endeavor to thread the needle and connect with you again. Our guest has been Dr. Harry Bullions. We've been talking about South Africa. You can find the archive at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Until we close our eyes for good.